order. So we're going from Rob and Lisa Legg, and then we're going to hear from Sydney Payne, and then we're going to hear from Dairy Holdings Limited. So Rob and Lisa Legg, good morning and welcome.
Thank you.
We've read your submission, so you don't need to reread that to us, but you're welcome to highlight key points that you'd like us to take home, and then we'll proceed to questions.
And the first point we'd like to make is to do with cultivation, so the new rule about cultivation, and in particular to do with requiring a consenting process for cultivation on slopes greater than 20 degrees. So in our situation, we have quite a bit of that, you know, in any, we've got a good bit of hill. So we think that using a best practice approach rather than a consenting approach would be much more practical and effective, and you'd get more support and buy-in from people in general. This would give a bit more flexibility. We also think that allowing for bigger or smaller setbacks, depending on the, you know, each situation that you're dealing with, would be a good approach. So, for example, if there's a waterway at the bottom of a slope, you'd have a bigger setback. But if there's no permanent waterway there, then you know there's a bit more flexibility around having a smaller setback when cultivating. So this relates to what we're doing and our farm. So that's why we're making that point. Probably a key thing about it is, in general, sheep and beef farmers don't go through consenting processes too much. So putting them in a position that they'll have to go through a process to cultivate, you know, I don't know how effective that, I don't think that's going to be very effective in many cases, and they're going to struggle with it, and the cost of it too. So the other, probably the other big one is to do with farm environmental plans. We think if these are going to be, you know, required from everybody, and again, talking about sheep and beef and deer farmers in our case, so having a very good practical template to fill in or work from would be really, really important.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, investment needs to be put into developing something alongside with farmers that they're going to be able to use and not require the services of consultants in order to, you know, to do these. Also, I'm not sure whether nutrient budgets are going to be required from sheep and beef farmers going forward. So doing nutrient budgets, you know, there's a lot of variation on sheep and beef farms and on hill country farms, and there's a lot of uncertainty with what comes out of a nutrient budget. So there's a big cost in doing a nutrient budget to a farmer, and with the uncertainty of the results that you'd get from a lot of sheep and beef farms, we're not sure whether this, you know, would be worthwhile. So it might just be a big unnecessary cost.
Yep.
So it's something that needs to be very carefully considered if it's going to be put in. And farmers need to, most sheep and beef farmers haven't really realised that yet. We think that if nutrient budgets are going to be required from them, it's going to be a big issue for them. So council need to be aware of that and, you know, consider it carefully. Do you want to say anything about the winter grazing?
Oh yeah, we've got the winter grazing and setting the limit of 50 hectares penalises just bigger farmers, right? Because you
with bigger, if people have bigger
stocking rate.
Yeah.
And yet you've kept a limit on the number of, or the area that they can winter graze on. It means they either have to destock to fit them in that area, or yeah, not winter graze, so they have to even destock more.
So the example we gave was that requiring a consent for over 50 hectares, so say if you're going to winter graze 60 hectares on a 700 hectare farm, that's not the same thing as winter grazing 60 hectares on a 200 hectare farm. So in that way, if you've got a big extensive farm and you're going to be dealing in a big area, but you've also got a big farm, so the proportion is small. So setting an absolute value of 50 hectares in the area that we live and farm in, you know, penalises us because we might tip that. Whereas somebody down the road that has 60 hectares or 50 hectares only on 200 hectare farm, that's a much bigger proportion of their farm. So maybe it is something that needs to be more carefully managed and may require a consent. So that's the point we're making about setting an absolute value might not, it, you know, it's not actually very fair to us. And again, using a best practice approach in that situation would achieve the same thing in the end, with no cost or, you know, extra work for us. And yeah, that's all I think we wanted to submit on.
Okay, thank you for that. Just in terms of the issue you raised about the nutrient budget for sheep and beef farms, the council officers who analyse the submissions, they've made a number of recommendations to us, as you're aware. They're recommending that nutrient budgets not be required for sheep, beef and deer farming unless they're undertaking intensive activities such as dairy support or a certain area of intensive winter grazing. So they've recognised that a typical sheep and beef farm at this stage might not be required to do a nutrient budget. So.
Yeah, that would be good.
So of course we haven't made a decision on that yet, but that's their recommendation to us.
Yeah.
I just wanted to ask you about cultivation. What kind of slope, how steep would you cultivate up to on your farm?
30 degrees.
Yeah.
But that would only be a small.
It's not, not a whole hill. Like there'll be a piece in of it that will be.
Yeah. Might be in that range.
In that range, because you just you learn to work down it all.
And how do you go about that? What sort of how do you do it?
Cultivate it.
Yeah.
As in, well, we'll just disc it usually, and you'll just work downhill, like, because there'll be uphill places where you can go uphill, because it's not as steep, so you always go up that. And then cultivate down the steep piece.
Yep. Yeah. So using a dual wheel tractor? Or?
Yeah.
And you talked about maintaining a buffer where there's a waterway perhaps at the bottom of the cultivator slope. Is that something you do on your farm now?
Yeah.
And what size of buffer do you typically leave?
It varies on the steepness of the slope and how far the slope's actually running.
Yep.
So the steeper the slope, the not really, the steeper, the longer it has to run changes the buffer at the bottom. So if it's running for a longer period, so the soil doesn't get too much speed up, you just increase the buffer.
So what would be a typical range that you use on your farm?
Anywhere from a metre to up to probably 15 to 20 metres.
Yeah. That's helpful. Thanks. I'll see if we have other questions for you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Have you done a farm management plan or a plan through Environment South and with the sustainable dairy people there?
No, we haven't.
Would you like to do one at some stage?
Possibly.
Am I correct in saying that beef and lamb don't have some of the other rules and regulations that other industries have? So you don't have any other, like dairy does, it has
We don't have the same,
Okay.
No.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Edward? You mentioned that it would be unreasonable to go through a resource consenting process every year. It's unlikely that you would be required.
So we realised that after we made that submission, but it's just difficult to see how the consent would actually work then, because you move around the farm, you know, and from one year to the next you don't know where you're going to be cultivating. So if council want to know specifics, you know, and usually planners do, they want to know what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. So if you can't tell them that, exactly and you want the ability to change your mind, which you also need, it's just difficult to see how locking in cultivation into a consent would be any different from just enforcing best practice or, you know, using best practice. I think they, in that case, they would achieve the same thing.
I take it your property is quite extensive, hill country.
Yeah.
And so if a 10% criteria for cultivation on slope applied there on winter, extensive winter grazing, sorry, 10% rather than 50 hectares.
Oh, we'd be over 10%.
Yeah, we're over 10%.
Yeah.
You'd be more talking 20, it's 100, between 15 to 20%. 20% would sort of be maximum because we're 500 hectares, so that's 100 hectares. So there's usually 50 plus hectares going into winter feed, and then yeah, you've got 50 hectares being cultivated going back into grass. So whether you take, presumably grassing's not involved.
No.
But it is cultivation.
Yeah. So it's for winter.
For winter grazing, yeah.
Could be double counting there. I'm not sure whether that would be counted as one.
Yeah.
If you put it into winter feed and then regrassing.
Is yeah.
What you're talking about?
Yeah.
Anyway, some suggestion that it could be a percentage over a certain size.
Yeah.
That probably would work better.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll just make a comment. The point you made about the proportion of area for cultivation proposed, your winter feed requirements, is a point that has been made by others and it is an issue we're considering.
Yeah.
Thanks. I just wanted to ask about your effects of winter grazing on your property being hill country. Have you noticed, can you comment on stormwater runoff during rainfall events, you know, sort of that after the stock had been on the crop for a while, have you noticed any adverse effects from sediment running off into streams with the practices that you do at the moment?
I guess it just depends on, you know, yeah, if you've got a lot of rain, there is some runoff. Because the water collects in places, you know, so that's something that happens to probably a small degree, we'd say, but, you know, it's very much down to the amount of rain that's occurred and how wet it gets.
We've been there 15 years, and so we're on our second round of cultivation now on some of the paddocks, and we've only cleaned out open drains at the bottom once in 15 years, and the amount of silt in that you're taking out of that isn't huge. Like, we're only talking maybe five tons of soil for probably 400 meters of drain, like, and it's only been cultivated once. Yeah, so, but that's over like 100 hectares and it's all not every year, so I don't think it's huge. Just as long as we've always had a bit of a setback, really. But yeah.
In terms of managing your winter grazing, do you do things such as back fencing and grazing from the top of the hill to the bottom, and identifying critical source areas and keeping them till the last?
Yeah.
Yeah, we
always go from the top, but even in heavy rain, you'll still get soil washing through, like through the crop anyway. Just, yeah, because it is on a slope, it will wash down. But, you know, we start at the top, fence everything out.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I've no further questions. Thank you very much for coming in, making your submission, and coming into court for us this morning.
Cheers, thank you.
Thank you.